Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It was just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, thank you. Let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints, won't you? I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man.
There's Hugh McFadden taking a point to make it another scorer for Donegal. There's a wee young fellow on the field already. I don't know how he got out on the field so quick, but he's out.
Fair play to him. He's going to play for Donegal someday. Donegal 2-22, Louth 12.
He wants Van Berorty to take a selfie with him.
Yeah, 222 to 12 points. I only done ordinary level maths for the Leaving Cert, but that tells me it's Donegal 28, Louth 12. It's a 16-point victory for Donegal, and there's an avalanche on the pitch, but as we said earlier on, Lionel Messi and co, they managed to have the Donegal players, and listen, they've been so, they're always so gracious with their time. They're absolutely fabulous, and that's a fabulous victory for Donegal. And you said it already, when the game was tough and sticky at the start of the second half, you said Michael Murphy started to pull a couple of strings, didn't he? A couple of key moments that set this platform. He's a superb player. We're lucky to have him.
Yeah, and I think, of course, we're lucky that it's great that he came back. But I think the thing about him was he was down and he was one of the three players back. And he dictated where players to run to create that situation, to get the goal that he created it that way. And I think then the two-pointer was an unbelievable, or the point, sorry, but then the two-pointer that he kicked himself. I mean, we went from being what? 2 points up to being 6 points up, all down to Michael Murphy. So I think from that point of view, yeah, that's what it is. And look at their bigger tests ahead, Paddy. We were in the semi-final last year as well, you know, going down the wire against Galway that day. So hopefully, you know, it's a big quarter-final. We know what Monaghan's going to bring to the table. We probably don't know what Meath team is this time. Then, you know, they would have played in Croke Park and they would have been happy. You know, they played Louth in Croke Park. I know they got beat that day, but they still would have been happy with that performance themselves, you know, from their own point of view. So it's a different one. We'll see them tomorrow morning in the draw. Who would you prefer? Look, at you have to probably at this stage beat whoever comes up in front of you. Maybe to be nice to play Meath, would it, for a change? Not to be meeting in Ulster, because we've already played them, you know, in the thing and everything else. But you have to say that looking at it, that Patton was again exceptional in goals. Van Berorty was man of the match. One young lad, as you said, and everything else, and covers every blade of grass. Now Croke Park will be a big day for him next weekend. But Brendan McCullough thinks the unsung hero. I think he doesn't get up and get scores or anything else, but he does his job and did a brilliant job the day in one of the top forwards in Sam Mulroy. Padraig Mogan had a very, you know, good first half. Ryan McHugh tired in the game, got forward a fair bit, got on, handled a bit of ball. Owen Bangalore's good to see him. I think it's another game under his belt from coming back in injuries, and a good second half. Kieran Moore wasn't as good as he was the last year, but we can't expect him to be that good every day. We still got a score. Jason McGee again get the time into him. Langan is Langan, and the good thing about Michael Langan is he has to be marked, and that's the big one of your play, whoever we're playing against. And if it's Meath especially, there'll be a bit of physical power in that midfield with Meath. They'll be powerful in there, so that could make a difference, you know. So then you had Kieran McColgan has come of age his last two games. Big call to put him in to that full back line against Aidan O'Shea. It's a big call. And Thompson is Thompson, you know, he just gives that game time every time. I think congratulations to him, it's his 50th championship match today. And then Shane O'Donnell handles a lot of ball, got his point in the end up, which was glad to see. Conor Donnell, a very good first half, got the goal when it mattered, finished as well. Michael Murphy. And Oisin Gallen, you know, after a bad start in a way, came very good and did well. So even the bench coming on, you know, I mean, there's definitely Darrell Wales fighting hard to get his place back on the team. He's come on now twice this last 2 weeks, you know. He's going to be fighting hard to start the next day, you know. And Owen McFadden, very good. Mark Curran hasn't played any much football at all this last while, and I thought Paddy Birdie handled a lot of ball. Young Niall O'Donnell kicked the point, which was good. So everything all right, everything good all round. Didn't get any injuries, didn't get any red cards. So Paddy, so you have to look forward to Croke Park next weekend. We're back there, and we will take a big support to it, and it'll be interesting to see, will it be Saturday or Sunday?
And we're talking here in real time. Some of this will go out on the podcast, and some people will be tuning in on Tuesday or Wednesday. The draw will have taken place at that stage. It'll either be Meath or Monaghan, but just for our live listeners, it's either Meath or Monaghan, but maybe for those, we've a lot of listeners maybe on Tuesday, Wednesday morning, we will know. In one hat, it's Dublin, Galway, Kerry, Donegal, the other Meath, Monaghan, Armagh, Tyrone. I have one question for you, Martin. I'm going to spoil the party and finish on a negative, and I don't want to chat to Cathal O'Kane of the Irish News after. Look, I can't even watch a horror movie. I'm scared. I'm anxious half the time, right? This is what I'm worried about. I'm worried that... Now, we're running into this new draw a couple of years. Monaghan, 2 years ago, in a different format, came through, won 3 matches in a row. Galway did it last year. Donegal have played a lot of matches. They've played a lot of Division 1 games. They've played tough. Is fatigue mental fatigue? Is it physical fatigue? It's hard going 3 games in a row. Against a team, I think it's very unfair. Personally, Meath or Monaghan, is there a worry that they're sitting back, they're relaxing this weekend? Have you any concerns over that?
Yeah, I think the only thing, I suppose we went to Roscommon last weekend, which was travelling away and staying away overnight. You'll be going up overnight now, depending on when the game is, the Saturday or Sunday. But I think we have a lot of fit men that are fit and everything else. Now, I don't think we'll blame that, Paddy, if we get beat. We can't really blame the
team.
I mean, players are just, they're playing, they're going to be easy training during the week. They're that level of fitness now. And you just hope from, that, going into this quarter final, that we're a good place. Was it Louth we played last year in the quarter final at Croke Park? So it'll be, you feel it'll be a bigger test than that was last year. So look forward to it. We know what kind of test it's going to be. It's going to be a different from every point of view. Anyway. But our first half performance today, or even 10 minutes into the second half, won't be good enough to beat anybody. But look, we're there. We're looking forward to, we're in the last 8, and we're looking forward to a big weekend of football next weekend in Croke Park, and we can go up on Saturday or whatever day we're playing and let's enjoy it. But we're going to need to play better than we did the first half, definitely today, against any of the two teams we play. Monaghan, as I said, don't fear us, anything else. They think they have the Indian signers all the time. And from Meath's point of view, we don't know what kind of Meath team it is. It's not the Meath team we would have played before. They definitely have improved. They had 4 players missing as well against Kerry. People are talking about the Kerry players, so they were impressive. They beat Kerry by 9 points. So it's going to be an interesting draw, very interesting draw, and we look forward to it. You're going to have a situation next weekend where, you have Armagh playing Kerry and you have Tyrone playing either Dublin or Galway. So that's going to be big from a point of view, as they're going to be 2 big semi-finals. I take it one of them will be Saturday evening and the other will be Sunday. Maybe Armagh Kerry Sunday and then Dublin against, or if it's Tyrone against Galway or Tyrone against Dublin. Particularly if it's Tyrone and Dublin, I would say it'll be Saturday, definitely Saturday evening. So they're big games.
Very unfair in Galway putting them out on Saturday.
Well,
wouldn't it?
Somebody has to go out if the way it is. You can't put everybody out. So it looks like they like the big game to be 4 o'clock on a Sunday. So unless they just go with, they might go with Galway, and if it's Galway and Tyrone and Donegal and Meath, put the two of them, or Donegal and Meath or Monaghan, put them two out on a Sunday. They might do that. Because Armagh do like playing on a Saturday. They get a lot of Saturday games, them Armagh ones.
We won't be worried about what Armagh like. I'll tell you what.
They're good enough to get the Saturday. They always have Saturday evening games. Give us a wee bit more rest time, Paddy, for the next
you're
game.
You're on commentary duty for Ocean FM next Sunday, because I'm bringing my little fella to Croke Park for the very first time. So I'll be sitting in the stand, but I will be coming up after to record the Donegal GAA podcast. Martin McCall, Ireland winner with Donegal in 1992, and 3-time Anglo-Celt winner. Thank you so much for joining me on commentary today with Ocean FM, and I'll see you in Croke Park, hopefully, next Sunday.
I don't believe a word this other man's going to tell you now that's coming in here.
Austin, I'm going to record Cathal O'Kane now. We might keep it for the Donegal GAA podcast. Austin, maybe you want to come back to the studio, because I know there's loads of sport on. Are you there, Austin?
I'm there.
Okay, so we'll keep recording here with the podcast here. My thanks once again to we're going to be joined here now by Cathal O'Kane of the Irish News. I know you're a busy man. You'll have a job getting these Donegal lads, because there's hundreds of supporters surrounding each one of them. And I know you're a busy man. You have so much work to do. It finished 2-22 to Donegal, 12 points to Louth. I actually don't want to spend too much time talking about this game. I'm more, when I have Cathal Cain on my podcast, I really want to just look ahead. Just quickly, one on Donegal there. It just fizzled out after halftime, didn't it?
I did. The goal from Kieran Thompson really put the tin hat on it. A brilliant goal from Kieran Thompson, coupled with the black yard then, and Donegal scored 7 points in the 10 minutes that Louth were down to 14 men, and that was it. You know, well nailed at that stage, and you know, the place was a wee bit antsy after 25 minutes. It was tetchy. You could feel the atmosphere starting to turn a wee bit, but they gathered it up, and look, that aside, I actually said to a couple of people at half time in terms of, I feel that Donegal actually nearly like playing against the breeze. Part of them, because they know the opposition are then going to space out a bit more. They're going to come on the offensive, and it's going to leave more gaps for that hard running that Donegal can really trouble teams with. I actually think that they don't mind one bit playing against the breeze.
No, we're miserable up here. We love the misery. Come here, can I ask you, just quickly, who was good for you today?
There was a stretch of men, to be fair. You didn't have any one individual. Probably, in terms of his finishing for a while, it was Oisin Gallant's best game in a wee while, as far as I was concerned. I've been eternally impressed. I actually tipped him in February to win Young Football of the Year. It was won by Rory, like, and he's very, very much in that line for me. Like, he's outstanding. He so much of the unseen in what he does, just wee breaks, wee turnovers. That there was one towards the end where he just came driving out. Said, I think Shane O'Donnell kicked the point at the end of it. Like, he's got a lot to offer to that Donegal team. And I think, you know, even Hugh McFadden coming in as well. Thought Hugh McFadden had a big 15 minutes at the end of the game. And he drove the thing on at a stage too. There weren't many 9 out of 10s, but there weren't many 5 out of 10s either.
Some of their parts. Looking forward, Cathal. I'm very aware of how busy you are. We've Dublin, Galway, Kerry, Donegal, Meath, Monaghan, Armatrone. From a Donegal point of view, Motion FM here and the Donegal GA podcast, 90% of our listeners from the land of old Tyrconnell. It's going to be Meath or Monaghan. Mm. Now, some people will be listening Tuesday, Wednesday. The draw will have to be made. Where are Donegal at, in your eyes, on the state of play, looking at it? You're in the helicopter, you're surveying the whole All-Ireland and what's left. First of all, isn't this a beautiful draw? Just if you had Derry in it as well.
It's just been such a fantastic championship.
Like, unreal.
I was watching Galway and Down before the game here, like, and another one to add to the list of very good games this summer. Look, the test of the championship and the test of all the rules will come in the next month. The Croke Park games will determine how great a championship it's been, but so far it has been outstanding. And the last 8 draw, it's funny because Meath and Monaghan there on paper, you know, you would pick them out as being the weakest of the 8, and you're saying that about a Meath team that's just beaten Kerry off the pitch, you know, and
Dublin earlier in the year.
Absolutely. And Dublin earlier in the year, and Monaghan will, you know, will feel that there was a lot out of the game in Clonus against Donegal that they would take, if it's them that meet Donegal, they would take a huge amount out of that game in terms of how they can hurt Donegal as well. So it's I mean, we keep saying it is wide open. Donegal were my pick at the start of the year for the All-Ireland. I haven't seen anything that has changed that. The only thing that makes me doubt that is, I think Armagh have timed it brilliantly. I think they have. I wasn't convinced that they could. It's very, very, very difficult for All-Ireland winners that aren't Dublin or Kerry to back up All-Ireland's. History tells you, like, most All-Ireland winners who aren't Dublin and Kerry get knocked out in the provincial championships or in the qualifiers the year after. They don't retain All-Ireland's. Armagh are making the best fist at it of any reigning champion for a long time. They look like they're just coming to the boil perfectly. And look, if that was the All-Ireland final, given the Ulster finals they've given us in the last couple of years, wouldn't that be some All-Ireland final?
It would be absolutely unbelievable. And I would take it, because that would mean we're in the final. Because I'm a little bit concerned about the quarters. That's what I want to ask you. I asked Martin, would you be... The teams that are coming 3 weeks in a row, do you think legs is an issue? No. Is this just me making this up in my own head? because I suppose in the last number of years, the teams coming through that had to play three in a row, a lot of the time were actually inferior to the teams that were actually waiting on them anyway. But this time, like, you've Galway, fine side, Kerry, still a fine side, Dublin, fine side, and Donegal, fine side. Come up against teams that maybe you weren't expecting to be in that position, apart from Armagh. Does that make sense?
It does. I get your point, but I don't think legs is a massive issue in terms of most of those games and how they'll pan out, because
it'll be results based.
Yeah. Look, if Donegal happen to build a 5 or 6 point lead against Meath, they can dictate the game, they can dictate how it's played. Where legs come into it really is if a game goes right to the wire and it becomes an up and down, really frenetic game, or it goes to extra time. Extra time will be a problem, maybe, for teams at that stage playing week on week. But like, it's a lot of the psychological. We have seen that in the 3 years of the group stages, only two teams have done it. One through a preliminary quarter final and made an All Ireland semi final. So like, it is tough, but the draw is sort of different this year, where you've had your four provincial winners all coming through this weekend. So be interested to see how that statistic stands up next weekend.
Last one, Kerry or Armagh. See, that's the only one we can actually talk about, because we know that's going to take place. Kerry been written off. I know a lot of Kerry people, they're not giving themselves a chance. I actually listened to Terrace Talk last week on Monday. You talk about postmortems, you should listen to people in Kerry talk post-mortem. It is like nowhere else. They are crucifying their team. It's different down there. It's the currency. There are a lot of injuries. They're stuttering. Things are not going well this year for them. But by God, if there's one team that can turn it, is it Kerry? Or do you just think Armagh have too much control at the moment, and because they found themselves in this good position?
I think if it was a full strength Kerry, like, for me, you know, if Thomas Sullivan puts the ball in the back of the net in the All-Ireland semi-final last year, Kerry beat Armagh. You know, they were at the gap. And I would have felt at the start of the year, and as they came in, they had a form. Certainly it was Donegal and Kerry, for me, were the two teams, I thought, because I always felt that when it got to Croke Park at this stage of the year, Kerry's kicking game would start to translate. They conserve so much energy by getting scores so much easier than other teams, because their kick-passing game is so fluid. But it's against Ulster teams that it has struggled. You know, like, the Ulster teams tend to be better at dealing with it. They tend to be more structured, better set up, less inclined to leave David Clifford and say, there you go, play one-on-one, and so we'll try and score enough at the other end to beat you. Armagh won't do that. Like, Dermot O'Connor, for me, and again, I know we're early in the year, but on his league form, like, Dermot O'Connor was the best player in the country in the league. Yeah. He was outstanding. He is such a massive loss. Joe O'Connor's had a great season in there. Barry Dan O'Sullivan's gone now for the year too.
Mike Breen.
Is Paddy Clifford going to make it? Like, Paddy Clifford, more than David in the last 12 months, 18 months, maybe 2 years. Paddy Clifford is the orchestrator of everything good about Kerry. And if he's missing next weekend, that's the bit. That's the thing. If he's not playing next weekend, I find it very hard to make a case for Kerry beating them. That's the bottom line. I don't know how Kerry would beat Armagh on the current form lines.
Okay, and you're rarely wrong, to be fair to you. And I hate giving other people credit. Carol Kane, you going to go down now and get a couple of interviews, are you?
I would need to go and do something useful, Paddy.
Yeah, you would. Well, you're doing the most useful thing of all time. You know, solving the world's problems here with me on the Donegal GAA podcast. Carol Kane, one of the top journalists in the country. Keep up the brilliant work. And yeah, it's just been great football this year, hasn't it? It's just been brilliant. The new rules are just going so well, aren't they, overall?
Don't start me, Paddy. Like, I battered the drum from the start of the year like I did. I felt that we're going to transform the game if we just stuck with them long enough. You know, if we... Yeah, and there was just a wee spell towards the end of the league where things started to get antsy and people started to chirp up and dislike them, and like Robbie Brennan's interview about becoming basketball, and like there was a noise got up, and it just worried me that we were going to talk these things out of existence before they had a chance. And I think, thankfully, the FRC and the GA held their ground and said, look, this is the way it is, we'll see. And the championship, like, anybody who can't equate the brilliant championship we've had to the changes in the rules, you know, I think they just don't want to see it, because the rules have facilitated what we have had, and what we have had this summer is, for me, up to this point, there's a lot still to play, but it's the best football championship I've ever seen. It is probably, you go back through history, it is the best football championship that's ever been played up to this point. But whether you can say that at the end of July, that it was the best football championship ever, will be determined by the next, what's left, 4, 6, 7 games. If those 7 games are of the quality of what's gone before it, this has been the best football championship.
Someone argued with me, I said the same thing last week, and he argued with me, and I give the simple one back, name a better one, couldn't answer me. No, so
it hasn't
good
been
night one. And good luck. And then if you do praise it, some people would come out and say, there's no conspiracy, we just want to see Gaelic football being in a better place. And I watch it in a number of different counties, it's definitely in a better place. Like, everybody can see that. And I'll just give you one more. I had 2 or 3 very close friends who actually had given up on Gaelic football. No, it's not that it just bored them. It just bored
Look
them,
the
and
crowd.
They were fabulous players themselves. And I didn't turn away, I still loved it, and I was one of those people who said nothing wrong at Gaelic football. But when you see the way it's played now, I look back now and go, what was I even thinking last year? I even tweeted last year, nothing wrong at Gaelic football. That was after a good game. I was ignoring 80% of them, but it's just when you see them live, it's just...
I think it was 21% so far. Championship attendances are up. The gate receipts from the National League were up. Whatever it was, 24%. It tells its own deal. The crowd here today, it was 15,500. Like, for, you know, a game that it's costly. You know, 3 games on the bounce. You could have been pretty sure Donegal were going to win this one, and you still 15,500 turned up because you know you're going to get something now. You're going to get a game.
You're an absolute gentleman, Carol Kane. Thanks for joining me on the Donegal GAA podcast. And before that, All-Ireland winner with Donegal, and Martin McHugh, who stayed with me on the podcast and with commentary today with Ocean FM.
Okay, up next, it's Donegal manager Jim McGuinness, who spoke to various reporters in the immediate aftermath of his side's victory.
Very happy, obviously. One game more than we wanted, but at the same time, we're happy to take the game. You know, whenever we could beat against Crone, you know, we knew that we'd be in this situation potentially, and we were kind of targeting these 3 weekends, so we're delighted we have an opportunity at the 3rd game now. That's the most important thing, and we'll take the positives from the day. Obviously, loads and bits and pieces to work on as well, particularly in the first half, in terms of decision making and stuff. But apart from that, very good display in the second half, and we're clinical and done a good job to get over the line, and get over the line with 20 minutes to spare, basically, and give us a chance to get some players on the pitch as well that have been doing well in training.
At 5-2, you had a goal chance that you didn't take. Ryan Burns gets the next 3 scores. What's your thoughts there? Because I think you had something like 5 points from 12 shots or something, so is that a concern?
It's always concerning when you're leaving scores behind you, you know, when I'm not sure what the overall tally of wides was, and obviously big goal chances as well. You know, you want to be ruthless and you want to be clinical all the time, and we were that in the second half. But the first half, we were trying to find our way, you know, and goal scoring opportunities are always, you know, they're an individual moment, and you have to trust the lads, you know, to do the right thing. And it wasn't far away, I would say, but at the same time, it was a crucial moment in the game because it could have given us a bit of breathing space.
You took it back to a point, and then you had a wee bit more of a margin at the start of that second half. What was your thoughts on there at half-time?
We had a bit of sorting out to do. You know, Louth brought a certain level of tactical awareness to the game in the first half. They were asking questions of us, you know, and they were exposing us and leaving us open, and they were playing through the D and all those types of things. You know, so it was important just to sit them down and go through those things and make some adjustments. And I'm not sure what we conceded, maybe 5 points in the second half. So that was very positive from our point of view that we were able to do that. And then obviously with that means you're getting turnovers, and then when the turnovers are coming, you've got the chance then to get up the field and make that count as well. So it was a double-edged sword for us in the first half. We weren't being clinical, and we were turning the ball over, and they were hurting us. In the second half, we were able to defend well, and that gives a platform to attack, and we were putting the ball there. So that would probably be the summary of the game, to be honest.
And taking off chasing at half time, was that a major concern, or was it just a case of easing them back? Because
no,
you said this previously, you'd went so long without playing a full game.
He was never playing any more than 35. He was never going to play any more than 35, you know, so we just wanted to get him in there and get him exposure to championship football from the start, and, you know, run through the warm up and straight into the game, and hopefully that'll bring him on.
Final couple of points for me. You had serious energy in that first half with the likes of Rorty, Moore. Is that what you're looking for? Because when you turn the ball over, that's probably what what makes you tick, I suppose.
Yeah, no, definitely. Listen, you need hands on the ball first and foremost, and I think both kickouts give us a platform to do that. You know, we would be very happy with both kickouts. And then obviously there was a lot of turnovers as well. The problem for us was that we were giving the ball away then at the other end and having worked really hard and then transitioning up the field and then losing the ball again. You know, a double or a triple transition, it doesn't matter how fit they are, people are going to feel the pinch in that regard. And so, yeah, we took care of the ball better in the second half, and that gave us more energy then to actually do defend properly in the phases when it was needed.
You don't know who's in the draw tomorrow, so it's probably irrelevant talking about next week, but a word on Kieran Thompson. I think it was his 50th consecutive championship year for Donegal. He scored a goal.
Yeah.
What about that for level of consistency?
No, brilliant. Listen, Tomo offers us so much, you know, when he's so consistent and so honest and so brave and punches way above his weight in disguise, to be honest with you, you know, with a lot bigger fellas out there. But delighted to see him get a goal as well, because that's the first goal he's ever scored in championship football. So it's a good day all round for Kieran, you know. But in terms of the team, it's very important now that we dial in very quickly to the next challenge, which is going to be Monaghan or Meath, and we wait for that draw to come tomorrow morning, and then we can start the ball rolling again for another week.
Thanks, Jim. Jim, just in terms of Finbar, how pleasing is it that he's backing up your faith by? With all these starts and appearances, like the performances are just coming week in, week out.
Hugely, and he's a huge favourite there with the crowd, you know, because he's just so honest, like, and works so hard, and he wins balls and he turns balls over that probably you shouldn't at times, you know, and he's so young, he's like a breath of fresh air for everybody watching him, you know. But for me, the most important adjustment that he has made is on the ball. You know, he's always been a brilliant, tenacious defender the whole way up through the ranks, but now he's playing at senior inter-county level, and he's difficult to take the ball off as well, and it's no matter how good you are defensively, if you're going to give the ball away in attacking phases, you know, it can cost the team. But he's been excellent at that, you know, and very good agility and very good at avoiding tackles, and he adds so much to our attack as well, as you say, as well with Kieran Moore and these other fellas coming from deeper positions.
How important was it to be able to give a few lads a breather there in the second half with next weekend coming as well?
Very important, I suppose. You know, it was twofold, really. It was an opportunity to give fellas that have been doing well, or McFadden Ferry has been doing well in training, Niall O'Donnell coming back into it again. So them fellas in particular, Daryl Beale, I thought was very, very good when he went on, you know, and Patrick when he went on as well. And you know, I think Patrick might have had three assists when he went on, and two of them for Dara, you know. So it was nice to see that and that interplay, and you know, all the fellas that came off the bench, added a lot of value, which was important.
I presume you'll be hoping for a Sunday fixture when they're all announced tomorrow afternoon.
I think we'll all be. Every county in Ireland will be hoping for a Sunday fixture. I don't think there'll be too many saying we're happy for Saturday, you know. But listen, we'll wait to see what that brings.
The record for preliminary quarter finalists, I know it's not a huge chart of years to go up, but it's not amazing. Like, I think it's one in each year maybe. So like, it's how do you bridge that 7-day gap or 6-day gap, whatever it is?
We're not too worried about that, to be honest with you. Like, we want that problem, you know.
Yeah.
Once we lost to Tyrone, we knew that we were going to play 3 weeks in a row. We played 5 weeks in a row at the start of the National League. So psychologically, there's no issues there. There's no issues. We're going to embrace it. We're going to hopefully go for it and try and enjoy the occasion and head to Croke Park. It's an All-Ireland quarter-final. It doesn't happen very often, you know. And so if it's 3 weeks in a row or 4 weeks in a row, it doesn't matter at this stage of the game now. We're delighted to be there, and we want to go up and give a good account of ourselves.
Yeah, I think Big Langan has a milestone next week too, maybe 100 appearances. He's your captain when Paddy's not starting. Like, how important is he to this
team? Hugely. He's just a brilliant football player. That's the bottom line. He's just a brilliant football player. He's very skillful. You know, he does it both ways. Very elegant on the ball. Can kick scores. You know, so delighted to have him, and delighted to have him going well. Hopefully, that means that he'll score a goal next week. If Kieran scored one this week, but
no pressure,
Michael. But listen, it was great. It's great to have those fellas that, you know, are sort of that age level. There's a maturity with them, and they're very focused in what they're doing. And Michael has been exceptional for us for the last, well, since I've come back in anyway, for the last 2 years. He's been absolutely brilliant for us, you know, and a very important cog.
The problem of the 3 weeks running goes away next year, Jim. There's been
like most things, since they decided to change the structure of the championship, there's been a real defence of it. Like, what side of the fence are you on? Is that a mistake to change it, or would you be happier?
No, I think the direction they're heading in is the direction to go in. I think, you know, the National League should start a week or two early to buy some time for Championship. You know, at the end of the day, you have a period of time for friendlies and everything ahead of the National League, but if you could start it a bit earlier and it would give teams 2 week breaks in Championship football, I think that would be more beneficial. And if we could push it back into August, then that would be more beneficial. And then if they take a game out of the round robin, that's another situation where you can get a 2 week break between games. So I think all of those things, if they were looked at, you know, would solve a lot of the problems, Cahir, you know. And then on top of that, then, like, I do feel like that there's definitely an erase this on the very first night in the National League. I definitely do think that there's a very strong case to be made for six or seven subs. You know, it's just the intensity levels and what players have been asked. That's our eighth championship game, you know, and maybe 11 or 12 weeks. And what we're asking them to do is not realistic. You know, and that's only from my own point of view. And every county has the same issues, you know. But there's a lot of very high-profile players injured. You know, there's a lot of players injured throughout the country, you know. So I think being able to just even rotate people in and out a wee bit more would take a bit of pressure off. Like, we had our subs made today and Oisin starts cramping, you know, and it's inevitable, you know. Once you hit 55, 60 minutes, you don't know who's going to cramp, but it's inevitable somebody's going to, you know. But so yeah, I think the sub situation would help it. And then obviously if we can, you know, make the season a bit longer by starting earlier and taking a round robin game out, I think that's all positive.
You said there, Jim, that's your eighth game. Going back to your first term, like, you won the All-Ireland in 2012, seven games, and that was over, what was it, a 4 or 5 month period. How different now is your, like, your training, like, in between games? Because presumably you can't do much.
No,
week to week.
You're doing very little, Chris. Like, you're doing very little, you know. I think that's another impact potentially on gameplay. You know, I think one of the reasons why we were sloppy in the first half today is because we weren't able to train until later in the week, and because you're getting closer to the end of the week, you can't do much. So, you know, so there's only, you know, maybe talking about a 50-minute, an hour session. Mm-hmm. You know, so there, you know, with everything, like, you know. Last weekend, you don't know who you're playing until Monday. It'll be the same tomorrow. You can't get the games down off the server until the afternoon. Then you've got to start cutting up the games. Then you have to start looking at the games. Then you have to start to see the patterns in the game. Then you've got to bring that information to them, present it to them the following night, which is 24 hours. And then you've taken them to the pitch and coach it. It's just, there's got to be a quality drop there somewhere, because just it's trying to do too many things in too short space of time, you know. And I think, you know, that's why if you get them extra weeks, you could say, right, we'll take them down for two or three days, you know, and then you have maybe 4, 5, 6 sessions where you can actually build the game plan. We weren't able to build the game plan, really. You know, with the best will in the world, like, and the best presentations in the world, you know, it's still a presentation. There's nothing that beats the feel of coaching, and you should be there and hold your run and the timing. Once you don't have that there, it's you're kind of doing a bit of that, you know, and you're crossing your fingers.
More instinctive, generally, is it?
Pardon?
It's really more instinctive, like, complete the match.
Or process driven.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have to have your processes in place and really, really be good in your processes week on week, and then the tweaks are, you know,
minimal
is right. Yeah, because we did nothing really last week, you know, and we'll be in a similar boat this week, I would imagine, after that.
Do you find that difficult?
I find it frustrating. Like, I do find it frustrating. Like, you know, and the old sort of money, if you like, you might have had 3 weeks or even a month to the game, you know, and you'd be able to bring them down, and maybe 2 solid weeks of coaching, and this is what they do, and this is what we're going to do, and all of that. I'm not saying it should be 3 or 4 weeks, but definitely we used to complain about a fortnight. Now we're praying for it, you know. We used to complain about it, like, this is not good enough, and now we're praying for a fortnight, you know. So I think the balance is in the middle, you know.
Sorry, should you Keelan Donegal, what way is Keelan?
Keelan is very close. He picked up an injury against Tyrone at a bone bruise, and they're just hard things to shake, and, you know, he's been back doing a bit, and then, you know, you'll know with bone bruising, it came very easily then, a bit of pain sets in, you have to take a step back off it, and that's where he is. So we're trying to build him up, trying to build him in, and trying to do it safely, so we'll see how he goes this week.
And just a reminder, Donegal 222, Louth 12 points. And I have a very special guest joining me here in the commentary booth for the Donegal GAA podcast, Donegal chairperson Mary Coughlan. Mary, your thoughts on that?
I'm delighted. I thought it was a tough enough first half, and we might have lacked the enthusiasm and the zealous that we're accustomed to, but by Garda, they made up for it, and it was very exciting second half. I think, first of all, fair play to Louth. They are the Leinster champions, and we respected that, and we welcome them all here to Ballybuffet. Some of them wouldn't have been that accustomed to coming to this part of the world. But certainly it was exciting. A huge crowd here, nearly over 15,000 people. You and I are here and nearly everybody's gone. And I look down and there's still children out playing there. So that shows that it's a family occasion, a family affair. People enjoy it. And there was as many people after the game looking for autographs of the Louth players as there were of the Donegal people. So it's a GAA family at the end of the day. And it was a very exciting day here in Ballybuffet, and well done to McCool's and all the volunteers, all the media, everybody. People don't realise what's involved in getting ready for a big day like this. Health and safety being hugely important. And I think things went very, very well here. People were very happy with all the volunteers. People knew where they were going, how to get there. The facilities were here. And overall, I think it was a great day for Donegal.
I was actually talking to, remember, the Garda Síochána before the match, and he was just telling me stuff. And I was kind of ignorant to it. The organisation that goes into these games is second to none. Dave McLoone deserves great credit. Huge pressure on these lads, but they do it diligently. They're so methodical in their application, and really they are an absolute credit. And when I mention a credit, you're in your second year in your term here as Donegal chairperson. Jim McGuinness is in the second year in the second stint. He steadied the ship on the pitch. You've steadied the ship along with many more off the pitch. It was a tough couple of years, and Martin McHugh was with me in commentary, and he was just looking out at the end, hundreds if not thousands of kids on the pitch, and he said never even in his lifetime in the 80s, the 90s and so on is there such a buzz. It's not just it helps when the team wins, there's a great buzz in the county no matter what happens. If Donegal lose next weekend, if they go on and win the All-Ireland, if it's something in between, are you getting a sense of that from your role as chairperson?
There's a great uplift, and when you're doing well, naturally you're going to do well. I see a young fella now down here with a black bag, and he's lifting all the bottles. He's probably going to make a few pound out of it when he goes up the street. There's enthusiasm and entrepreneurship. But look, it has created a great sense of occasion for people. They talk about the matches, they go to the matches. I suppose one of the criticisms overall is the calendar's too tight, not just for the, you know, when you're talking about players and recovery. Your club's trying to get organised, secondaries, tickets, the county board. It's just never ending. We're back out now again next weekend. No, it's fantastic we are out there, but there's a lot of organising to be done. Team has to be organised. It is exhausting, but look at people talk about me being a great chairperson. I have a great team around me in my executive and in the club. And one thing I want to see for my term is that the clubs will benefit from what we're doing here, and that our young people will join the clubs. We need more people to volunteer. We need more people to be part of the clubs. And not everybody's going to be a Michael Murphy, but a lot of people will have a chance maybe to come out here in October and to represent their club, because it's about the club. The club, the club, the club is the most important thing. And from good clubs come good players and good opportunities in both our ladies and our men's and in all of our codes. So I would hope that, you know, the enthusiasm that we see here now, the cool camps that are going on now over the summer when the children finish school, that that will all encourage our young people to come into the clubs and to play and to participate. And the other thing is, look, not everybody will be able to play, but there's other opportunities within clubs. Like there's media, for example, commentating. We do streaming, you do radio, there's loads of opportunities there. Stats is a big thing now. You know, there's so much opportunities there, coaching. And you can do all this in Donegal because the ATU provides those opportunities as well to stay at home and to study at home. And this is where Gaelic Games is at now, in my opinion.
Yeah, really well said. I always, when you came in as chairperson last year, I was thinking to myself, well, anybody that was in Leinster House for a long time, I think 1987 you were first elected, right? Is that experience obviously must be huge, because I would imagine there's nowhere tougher than Leinster House and Kildare Street for having those, robust conversations with people, you know, but you know what I mean, and creating frameworks and creating teams around you. Is chairperson, do you find it, is it a difficult job?
It is, and I suppose I cut my teeth in Donegal County Council, so you couldn't get any better place to start in my day.
When did you start with the Donegal County?
In 1986, and I had political heavyweights, the McInniffs, McGlinchys, McGowan, all the Macs. You know, I had the Blaneys, so I went into a local authority where there were very seasoned politicians. But I learned a lot, and I learned a lot from representing the people here of Donegal.
So you went from county council and 1 year later to Dáil Éireann?
Yes.
Wow.
And I had opportunities. I served my time, like a lot of people, at local authority level, county council, or within the Dáil as a backbencher. And then I was afforded the opportunity of 10 years as a minister. So that's a lot of experience, and you get to know a lot of people. And I like working with people, and people say to me, oh, I heard you're retired, you have nothing to do. Well, I haven't time to change my mind. But I enjoy it. Chair is representing the organisation and working with the organisation and on their behalf. All of those who volunteer have a lot of work to do, a lot of work to do. Each and every member of the executive has to give of their time. Many of them are working, and then after work up until late in the evening or very early in the morning, they're carrying out the duties of the county board. But we do it because we enjoy it. We do it because we want to see success, and we want to make sure that there's going to be a player pathway here in Donegal, so that the momentum that we have now created will carry on forever, and we'll not be up and down and up and down, that we will have a continued momentum of our underage, our under-14s, all the way through under-20s, our seniors, hurling, football, and at school level, and then at club level. And that's what we want to do, and it's about affording opportunities for people and communities to be together and to wear their heart on their sleeve. And that's what we see here today. And, you know, we see all of those. It's very important to say that 99.9% of the people that are in the GAA are volunteers. There are very few paid officials in the GAA, and I would like to see that to continue.
Yeah. Well, very well said there, and articulate as always. And it is hard work, and you mentioned that there already all the experience that you've had, and I think that's very important. It's a 5-year term, is it?
Yes. Well, it's every year you go before the...
there could always be a coup d'etat, I suppose.
There could be a coup, yeah. But look, I enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy working with people, and it's great to see things going well. We have a lot more to do. There's a lot of things that we need to tweak and to build and develop. Having Carol Lacey appointed now is taking on our academy. It's taking on our new coaches. We're getting that momentum there. We're doing similarly in hurling, because we need to look and care and develop hurling, because our underage hurling is not where it should be to build into a senior team. We aim high for everybody, and that's what we want to do. And certainly I would have to say that the sponsors are also hugely important in supporting us in doing the work, and everybody who buys the 50-50 or the squares or whatever, because it does take a lot of money to keep Convoy going, to keep our teams going, and making sure that everybody is well cared for.
Absolutely, and so say all of us. Last one, I promise. A wise man once said, all politics is local. All GAA is local too, given the parochial nature. I just want to finish up. You must be, I know you're proud of everybody that plays for Donegal. You must be very proud, though, in your own hometown club of St. Noel's. It's an honour and a privilege to have one county player, but to have Gavin Mulroney, Brendan McCall, and Padder Morgan all involved. And I know it's a cliche, sometimes we turn around and we say, oh, they're lovely lads. they are three gentlemen.
Well, they are gentlemen.
And they're all very different characters mm-hmm. as well.
A different style of football.
And they're different styles of footballer. And Gavin Mulroney, he's so earthly, isn't he?
I love chatting to him. Gregarious is the word one would use.
Yeah, he's great, though. I love meeting him. He's a fun guy to be around. Yeah. Very calm and influencing. Brendan and Patter, they're three fabulous lads. You just must be really proud of them.
We're delighted for them. And have to give my ladies a shout. We also have three ladies on our senior team as well, which is great. They're absolutely fantastic. I suppose one of the downsides is it's a big loss to St. Noel's.
I know, yeah.
And that's killing some of our teams, and it has killed a lot of our good teams as well. It's getting
that's
that
a wider
balance.
Issue, isn't
it's a wider
it?
Yeah, issue, yeah, but yeah, it's yeah. it's getting that balance. But my goodness, they have represented us with acumen, and hopefully we'll have a few more that can make it up the line as well. But every club, as you rightly said, is proud to have somebody representing them at county level. It just is such an honour for any club. And for young people may not be listening to us tonight, but maybe their mums and dads are, it's starting them young. And it's about practising. Very simple. I remember Martin McHugh, one of your guests here, saying every day he practised in Townie. Every day. It's simple, simple, simple. It's get the basics right, and then if you have good coaching and you have that pathway of coaching, then you will have an opportunity for people to just click and do it well. Oisín Gallen did it today. I'm delighted for him. He's at home. He was comfortable, and I was delighted that he was honoured. But look at every last person that was out in that field just did us proud here in Donegal.
As the old Chinese adage says, every long journey begins with one short step. We have a lot of steps to take because we're very high mm-hmm. up in the press box. Donegal still have a number of steps to take if they are to reach the Holy Grail. It starts next week. And again, for our listeners, it's either going to be Monaghan or Meath. But if you're listening later on in the week, the draw will already have been made. But for our listeners tonight and early Monday morning, the draw on RTE Radio 1 at 8:30. Mary Coughlin, I was about to say tonish to Mary Coughlin, Donegal chairperson Mary Coughlin. Listen, hopefully we'll catch up with you later on in the year. And thanks for all your work. And thanks for coming on the Donegal GAA podcast.
And thank you to yourself for keeping us all going.
Thank you very much, Mary. It's Donegal 2:22. Louth 12 points. Delighted to be joined by Gaelic Life's Michael McMullen, a good friend of the podcast. Actually, a while since I had you on the show, perhaps after the Derry game earlier on in the year. What did you make of it?
I probably expected Donegal to win, Paddy, and I suppose I would say Donegal people were a bit concerned when it was 5-2 and you just passed up a goal chance and Ryan Burns hits the next three shots, because in the end it was a comfortable win. And I think the nature of the 3 weeks after each other, I think anybody who comes through this weekend needs to make it as routine as possible. And it ended up that way. But it could have been different. And I suppose, imagine Donegal had been finishing a game like they did last week with the whole euphoria of scoring a last-minute winner. It would just take so long to get down from it, I feel, from their point of view. Like even today, like the subs had even made their way down the tunnel because he wanted just to get offside and into the dressing room and into Planet Monday morning in a draw. So from that point of view, it's a job done. Probably a concern would be Oisín Gallen was limping around there at the end, and I thought Donegal had still more one substitution left to make. Jim did say in his interview that he felt that it was cramp. So that would be a concern. And
that's what Martin McHugh was... Yeah, categorically, he was just like definitely cramped, but it's hard to tell, isn't it?
And I suppose if they woke up this morning, you just want to be in the hat, and they are. And they actually looked comfortable once the Kieran Thompson's goal went in.
Like, hang on, Orrin McFadden Ferry 1, Paddy McBrearty 2, Jason McGee, come on.
There was a double substitution.
3, Niall O'Donnell 4, and Oisín McFadden.
Yeah. But there's a double substitution.
Jason McGee started. Daryl Boyle came on as well. Yeah. Sorry, Jason McGee started, sorry.
But I suppose, like Louth took it back to a point after half-time, and Michael Murphy missed a couple of chances, then he gave away a free, and all of a sudden, it was probably getting that bit disjointed, Paddy, I would say, from a Donegal point of view. But then, as I say, like Kieran Thompson took that goal. It's his 50th consecutive championship appearance at senior level, which... it's an amazing statistic. Like, to do that even to be injury free for 50 games in a row, Paddy, never mind being selected by the manager, says it all, and he took it well. And I think that was probably game, set and match. You know, it took, like, I would say there was guts of 20 minutes. I don't know exactly offhand, but nearly 20 minutes Louth didn't score in that second half. And at that stage, Donegal were just, you know, nailing on points, and it was sort of over at that point. And they can probably start to think about next week. But as I see it, it's Meath or Monaghan, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong here.
That's correct.
I think that's the options in the morning for Donegal people. But I suppose there's eight left. The sad thing is there's only three weekends left, because it's been brilliant. This year has been excellent.
Cahir and myself both think it's the best championship. I think it's the best one we've had.
I think it has. And
do you agree, honest, yeah?
I do. I really believe that. Like, there is entertainment. Like you hardly even think about tweeting during a game about a score or an incident, because you're just watching it. And that's brilliant. And I think part of the FRC's whole protocol was they actually showed footage of last year's championship of fans in the stands and disengaged. So it's definitely changed an awful lot. It's probably a wee bit of a concern that we're going back to the back door after the group stage has really put everything front and centre. People talk about the fact that it's not in September, and there's probably a wee bit in that as well, but like, there's a club season to be fitted in at the end of it all.
100%.
You can never forget that. And like, club players are getting a new lease of life now, because they know when they can book holidays and weddings and stag parties and things. So they now have a life. In a previous life, they didn't. They were living off the scraps of the county and nearly resenting the county for doing well, and then not knowing when they're out. So I think it's brilliant, and long may it continue. And to be fair, I think the new rules have been brilliant. At the very start, I decided not to comment on them, because I think a lot of people were negative about them at the start. Gave them a chance. Unfortunately, we didn't have a trial period. We were trialing it out when there was league points. But it's been brilliant, and as I say, it'll hopefully inspire more people to play football. I was at a club game during the week, Glen and Castle Dawson and Derry, and there's a guy, Jack Doherty, for Glen, and he's just a new lease of life. He hadn't played football in a while, he was injured, and I nearly got the feeling he was loving the new rules, and there's probably people like him in every corner of Ireland, Paddy.
Oh yeah, I met a couple of club lads in Donegal this morning, and they said they are loving it. I think a couple of coaches don't like it, but these coaches were hammering down tweets back before the rules even came in, and they were kind of presuming this is going to happen and making up these scenarios that, yeah, even if they do develop into that, well, there's time to change it. The whole year was, initially the whole year was a trial year.
It
was a trial year, and things can, but the minute something went wrong, people were hammering on social media, the rules are a disgrace. Now, maybe the rules are not a disgrace because some one thing happened. That's one maybe rule. Maybe it's a subcategory of the rule. And there has been unintended consequences. I actually don't like every rule. But if I'm talking as a whole to someone from outer Mars, I really like the new rules. I don't actually love them all. I don't. One I personally don't like, but for the greater good. I don't love the 2.3, but I absolutely, I think a club is difficult, but I'm not going to turn around then and say I hate the rules, because it's such a broad statement. Okay, it's like saying I don't like music because you don't like a band. Do you get me?
It's same thing. Like, for example, I don't like the kick-out arc. I think it limits a man like Sean Patton, you know, somebody like Ethan Rafferty, who can vary their kick-outs. I actually think it turns the midfield area into a bit of a mess. But by and large, the FRC are to be credit. You know, they deserve a lot of credit for giving us a product that now people want to play, and more importantly, people want to come watch.
Look at attendances. 21% is a crazy rise. If that was up 5%, you'd say decent. Like, the League of Ireland went on an upward trajectory, and we kept hearing about it, and it's great. I'm a sports man. But 21% is huge, considering a lot of people had grievances with the format as well. Unfortunately, that's changing again. But I think a lot of the coaches that don't like the rules, I think they'll eventually come around, because they're coaches, they're big GA men, and they love football, so. And it hasn't changed. Like, the game isn't, it's much, much better, but it's not like a completely different sport either. Do you get me? Some people were concerned that it's still going to be the best players, it's still going to be the best system, it's still going to be the best managers that are going to have success, whether that's Derry Club football or the All-Ireland Series or whatever it is.
Like, I went to watch Glen during the week. Donegal All-Ireland winner Rory Cavanagh was their manager. Had an interview after, you know, you can see it in Gaelic Life,
and he basically
touches on the fact that he likes it all. he's happy that the one was taken away this weekend where there's 50 metres for the, you know, he probably played midfield so we can understand it. Touching. So they have made, they definitely have made tweaks. And I actually think, we won't see the best of these rule changes for another 5 or 6 years because the current under-12s and current under-14s, that's what they're going to be used to. So when they become senior players and you're commentating on them in 5 or 6 years, Paddy, they'll have that all under their belt. Whereas we've had players playing in front of us today here that have only really known these. Like say, for example, Michael Murphy, for example. Bad example, he helped make the rules. But like he played a game for so long that was so different. And he's now in a new year, whereas somebody who's got 8 years of, you know, underage, by the time that comes, I think they'll just, it'll come second nature, and recycle won't be an option anymore, and all these types of things. It'll be all about, you know, pulling the trigger on a shot. So it's just, it's great. And I think, Paddy, you'll probably agree with me on this. We're so good at knocking things when they're bad. So
it's the only sport that continuously, again, the League of Ireland are praising that the sport's got really good now. I know Damien Duff's gone today and that, but, you know, they promote the league, They've started promoting the league. Hurling, one good hurling game or two good hurling games a year, and those more than I'm a huge hurling fan, but they rave about it. But
and rightly so, but
and,
so
and rightfully
so should we.
100%. The minute something was happening there with the rules, like, to be honest, there was some managers coming out, and to paraphrase them and not misquote them, they were like, oh, well, this isn't the game that we grew up loving. Mm-hmm. But that didn't actually make sense, because the game that they love, what period in time are they talking about when they say this isn't the game that we love? Because the game drastically changed from the nods anyway to the previous decade and the previous decade, and like the game that they love, probably they grew up in the 80s or maybe 90s, and was that perfect? No, it wasn't. It's all about having the best version that you can possibly have at the time, and I think we're getting closer. It's not perfect, but we're getting there. And as you said, people are not on their phones, they're not messaging, they're not tweeting. It's great. I think the big test might be the club championships in each county, and
whatever, it's serious. Like that game I was at the other night didn't mean anything
when it's serious. You know? And I think when it passes that, can I ask you? And I know you're very good for joining me. Dublin, Galway, Kerry, Donegal, in one bowl, Meath, Monaghan, Armagh, Tyrone in the other. And again, I've said this probably 20,000 times on the podcast. Try and avoid repetition. Some people will be listening to the show on Wednesday and they'll be like, what's Paddy and Michael on about? So the draw was Monday morning.
Yeah.
We're recording live here. It is nearly 7 o'clock in Balbuffet. Donegal can draw either Meath or Monaghan. We know that. We know Kerry are playing Armagh, okay? For our Sunday night listeners and our early Monday morning listeners, how do you see this kind of All-Ireland race now? We can't really talk about the matches because we only have Kerry Armagh. What's the state of play, Michael?
I think, with the risk of taking an easy option, I think it's just wide open. I think what happens, Paddy, and all us in the media make this mistake of, oh, Donegal are back, they scored 222 today. I think it's just week on week, everything's so different. Like, probably Armagh are the most consistent team at the moment. Mm. The fact they've put a couple of decent performances back to back. Donegal had a slight lull, but they've lost their title, and they're now, you know, going into Croke Park next weekend with a spring in their steps.
Yeah, Alan Foley said last week there's so many games. He said to me off air, he said it's literally like tournament football, isn't it?
Aye.
Where if you look at any team forensically, they're all having stutters here and there sporadically. Even Armagh, kinda,
But Armagh's probably the only team, I suppose, because they topped the group area. Everything else is probably the case you can make. But I think it's wide open. Like at this stage last year, you know, most people wouldn't have thought Armagh would have won the All Ireland, which is great. Paddy, I would have to say the fact that we can't answer this question, really, either we don't know anything about football, or maybe we don't, or the other side of it is it's more exciting now. You asked me that question 5 years ago, and you're thinking we probably aren't having this discussion because it's Dublin. Probably.
Maybe Kerry, but it's Dublin,
But now, for example, you know, can Donegal win the All-Ireland? For sure, you know. But Kerry, they've got injuries, but they're still there. Dublin, you know, you can make a case for them all. You really can. And probably the team in the draw that's probably jumping out at there at the minute is Meath, because they've probably got the least experience because they've only really come on the scene recently. You know, like Donegal have been at Croke Park before, Tyrone have won at All-Ireland 2021, so, you know, Monaghan nearly beat Dublin a couple of years ago, so Meath are probably the team that's standing out as sort of, I don't know, the darkest of the
I'm not going to lie, though. I said to Martin McHugh, I said to Carol Kane, I don't know if I said it to Mary Coughlin. I am concerned about the quarters, and I hope every Donegal player and management team come up to me after and say what we are worried about. I would love if that happened. Every listener to the podcast, I'm still a little bit concerned about the 3 weeks in a row. I just think mentally, but maybe I'm a friend saying, "Ah, what are you on about?" Like, maybe I haven't a clue about football. I'm just a little bit worried that Meath Monaghan are sitting, waiting, taking notes. But maybe it won't be a concern. Maybe what do you think?
I can definitely see where you're coming from. But the only thing,
just that freshness
that I would say from a Donegal point of view, I think that they've come through this unscathed in the fact that it was pretty routine.
Mm.
But you remember they came here, was it last year, and put in a massive performance against Tyrone, went to Cork and were flat.
That was a week break, yeah. Cork so had
there,
two
there,
weeks.
There is, but the only thing that'll actually iron out this is a history book to see what happens this year, but it is a concern. It definitely is.
I also said to Cahir, the team's coming through. Monaghan done it 2 years ago, Galway last year. Now, the only thing is the teams coming through a couple of times were slightly inferior to their opponents anyway, whereas this year we've Dublin, Galway, Kerry, Donegal. Now, Kerry probably going to be slight favourites against Armagh. Just what last one. The one positive I'm taking from Donegal, we're not doing too bad on the injury front, considering the route that we've come through. Mm-hmm. Niall O'Donnell comes back today. Martin McHugh eulogising about him. I mean, he is... I'm not even sure that other teams in other counties realise how good Niall O'Donnell is. He's an unbelievable player. Whether he comes on for 20 minutes or half an hour, phenomenal club player. Keelan McGonigal's still out. We saw Jason McGee back today. We let believe he was just taken off, given him minutes. By and large, I might be missing out on one or two, but by and large, Donegal are coming to Croke Park. The injury front's not looking too bad when considering you look at the likes of Kerry, for example, and Galway to a lesser extent.
No, it's a good situation to be in. I think that's what you'd want. And I didn't see Keelan McGonigal wearing the boot today, which is a plus.
Was he not?
I couldn't see it.
And he was last week.
So that's definitely, because I think he's an important player. He's an important player for them, and the fact that he just shores up so much. But another factor too is Sean Patton. Like, you know, again today he was launching kickouts over the top. Like the Gosheen Gallon's goal came from one over the top. So they're in a decent position, but I suppose it's difficult to talk about it until you see the draw. But I was watching Donegal and Monaghan yesterday. It was for a wee article I was doing, and the only thing is Monaghan will catch on to the fact that Patrick Mogan would allow to be one-on-one like he was against, I think it was Stephen Hanlon. Donegal got a lot of joy out of that, so Monaghan will probably have learned from that and may have been here today watching that. And
of course they were.
You know, so say, for example, they draw Monaghan in the morning, you know, that would be a concern. But again, as Jim said down below when he was chatting to us, he says they're all good concerns because that means you're in the hat.
Monaghan will know that. Donegal will be the same. They'll know what every Monaghan player had for breakfast, and they'll know what colour socks the Donegal players wear up. And actually, a coach said to me,
"Some people don't wear socks. It's trendy not to wear socks now."
It's true. You won't see me without socks. Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life, thanks so much for all your time. We might touch. Are you covering any matches in Croke Park?
I might go to both of them.
We'll see you there. Get you in a headlock before you head out Jones's Road. Michael McMullen, Gaelic Life, thanks a million for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast.
Okay, that's it for the weekend's edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. So a comprehensive victory for Jim McGuinness's side. They now enter Monday morning's draw. Donegal will play in the All-Ireland quarterfinals next weekend. We should know dates and times, possibly late Monday evening. A big thank you to all my guests this afternoon, and a special shout out to you, our loyal listeners, in particular those who are tuning in far and wide. And finally, a special word of thanks to Austin O'Callaghan back at the base. We'll say bye for now from Paddy McGill here in the Cool Park Valley Buffet. We will talk to you next weekend.